Krishna is perfect. And his plan is perfect. And even his energies are perfect. And even this material world, Ishupanishad says, Om Purnamada Purnamidat Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Evavashishyate. He is perfect and this world is also perfect. Purnam Hare Krishna. And even though from the complete perfect, so many perfect things come out, he remains perfect also. That's a very high realization. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna famously explains when and how and why he comes. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I come, Krishna says, for three purposes. The three purposes are to reestablish the true principles of religion, paths for spiritual perfection. That's one reason. Another reason is to destroy duskritam, rascals, miscreants. Destroy the rascals. Hare Krishna. Once we had a Narasimha Chaturdashi celebration in Korshna's BBT and they decided to chant one mantra to destroy all the demons. My Bhakta leader said he was very worried that day. He didn't know what to do. and the first reason is to save the good people, sadhunam, or devotees. And we know Srila Prabhupada quotes Balda Vidyabhushan that actually two of these reasons do not require Krishna's appearance. Because for reestablishing religion, Krishna can send some or inspire some intelligent devotee. He can send somebody and give them, send the books. The books are there. We have a lot of books. And he doesn't have to come personally. He can just snap his fingers and you, from your heart, you will understand the books and you will be able to do everything properly. To kill the demons also, he doesn't have to come. Prabhupada always says he can send a teeny little microbe and that's it. Huge, powerful demon, boom, he's dead. He doesn't have to come personally. But he comes to protect and save, rescue his dear devotees. Then there is a little more there. It says that, but devotees don't need rescuing. Some say, yes. Some look, I need rescuing. So, because if you are a sadhu, a spiritual practitioner, you are always happy. Hare Krishna. Yes, yes. See, some people are laughing. So, such an ecstatic statement. So, by your Krishna consciousness, you are invulnerable. Such a nice word which is difficult to translate. Invulnerable. Ne dotakliv. You are... miseries cannot touch you. They try, but they can't. They can't disturb you. So, then why does Krishna have to come to protect his devotees? So it is explained that he comes to protect his devotees. Madhava Vidyabhushan explains, he comes to protect his devotees from one suffering. And what is this one suffering that he comes to protect them from? It is the suffering of separation from him. Yes, separation from him. Hare Krishna. It's bad news. So until we feel separation, how can he come? So, no worries. If you don't feel separation, you're okay. And if you do feel separation, it's also okay. He's coming. Right? So, still, even when he comes, he performs some surprising pastimes. You may know that for every story, you need some trouble. If there is no conflict, there is no story. If there is no trouble, there is no story. There must be a, first, it must start nicely. The beginning must be nice. And then there must come a point where you must say, oh no, or oh why, oh don't go there. Something, you know, that the hero shouldn't do. My friend, he was saying, but how can we feel this worry about Krishna when we read stories about Krishna? Because, you know, he's God. What, you know, if whichever demon attacks him, Krishna just snaps his fingers, whatever, you know, it's so easy. Who can actually fight with Krishna, with God? Nobody can fight with God. Nobody can create any trouble for God. So there is no intrigue. Okay, one time you read, and then you know, okay, he killed everybody, all the demons. Dead. And then the second time, how you read the second time? About the demons. How can you feel this excitement and participation that, oh, there is some trouble, and what will happen? Then what happened? So how can you feel such excitement about Krishna's stories? What, let me ask you, maybe you will offer some new realization. What do you think? If we read about Krishna killing demons, and you know that obvious, sometimes, you know, I'm reading some book and I'm worried, what will happen? But then I think, come on, you know, obviously the hero will win. You know, and look, there's still so much book left. How can he lose now? Don't worry. Calm down. But still, there is some, you know, some little, I don't know how the author will guide the storyline. But with Krishna, it's obvious. He will kill all the bad actors. So how can we feel excited about stories with Krishna killing demons? What do you think? What would be your solution or answer?
How is he going to kill?
Yes. Yes, we will read about this today. One, he punched in the nose, and the other he kicked with the left foot on his head. That's very interesting, actually. Some of us feel very excited. Oh, see, left foot to the side of his head. That's amazing. That's cool, isn't it? Dancing on the head. Yeah, that was also nice. Dancing on the head of that dragon Kalia. Yeah. Yeah. How? Not weather, but how? Yes. Okay. Any other ideas? How?
One is fate. Krishna Prabhupada and Shastra explained this is the occupation of the soul to hear about Krishna. So by fate, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I know I must do what to do. Okay, let me listen. But how can I become involved personally? You know, how can I emotionally participate? That's the question. Yes. Anartas. Yes. Yes. Very interesting. Okay, so I can participate on the side of the demons. I can relate. Okay, that's actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. They give this psychological aspect of these leelas. It also is reflected in your personal journey of your spiritual growth. And I can even read that this demon represents the bad quality of cruelty. Am I cruel? No, I am the kindest person in the world. If you show me anybody who is kind, I'll just kill him, and again I'll be the kindest person in the world. I'm not cruel. Or maybe sometimes, you know, when I I'm cruelly eating the apple with the seeds. So I can participate. Okay, how Krishna will conquer cruelty? Okay, so that's an interesting approach. True, we can connect it to our life. Yes, through that side. Thank you. That's interesting. Any other ideas how to connect it? How to be worried about the lila, about the pastime, about the story, even if you know that Krishna wins anyway. How to be worried? Yeah, that's it. Yes, everybody, look, we have a trouble. How to get worried? Yes? People are worried all the time. We think, how to get worried? It's too peaceful. Everything is too good. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the devotees are in trouble. Yes. Okay, yes, thank you. That brings me to our Krishna going from Vrindavan to Mathura. So, for Krishna, no problem. You know, he spent 16 years in the village, training martial arts, going to picnics with friends, you know, running after cows. Cool time. Really nice. And then now he's moving to the city. Also cool, right? But the devotees. But also, you see, devotees in Mathura are in potential trouble from Kamsa. Some are in potential trouble, and some are in actually real trouble. Like the parents of Krishna are in the prison. So they are in trouble, and Krishna goes to Mathura, and then devotees in Vrindavan are in trouble. So everybody is worried. Oh, they will feel separation. So for all the devotees in Vrindavan, it's a big disaster. Krishna leaving Vrindavan, going to Mathura. So depending on from which side you're looking, if you're looking from the side of Vrindavan devotees, then it's quite actually sad. It's actually, you can cry for them. In fact, we see that Mother Yashoda didn't want to let Krishna go. So basically what he invented, he said, can you please pack me some travel food. If you are traveling somewhere, always devotees will pack you some very nice prasadam for the way. Even though sometimes you have to, like sometimes I go by train from one city to another overnight. And the train starts at 10 p.m. and arrives at 7 or 6 p.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. So I said, well, I will be fasting all the time. Starting from 10 p.m. all the way to 6 a.m. I will be fasting. What to do? Austerities, the Brahmana. And still devotees pack big bags of, you know, who knows, what if you wake up at 3 a.m. and are starving? Devotees are very merciful. So Krishna told Mother Yashoda that, you please pack me nice travel food, a big pack. So Mother Yashoda has no time to worry about Krishna leaving. She goes and she thinks what to pack for the way. And she packs a lot of nice things for Krishna for the way. And still, you know that Akrura, he doesn't go direct, doesn't take the direct route. He takes some side streets, side roads, forest roads, so that the Brijbasis can't catch him. So that they are, you know, so they can't find how he went. Akrura is taking that route. There's so many topics are there. You can give a big seminar on each of these segments. And there have been given, like Radha Govinda Maharaj was giving a whole seminar on Akrura's prayers on the way from Vrindavan to Mathura. There are so many amazing topics. But the mere subject of Krishna entering Mathura, this is chapter 4 of the second part of Gopal Champu. I recently was listening to this again, and I was so charmed by these descriptions that I thought it's probably a good topic to speak about. So you may know that Krishna is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. You know it, right? Perfect, you knew. But more perfect and most perfect, that's a little tidbit that may be new to some of us. So, which part of Krishna's world is perfect? And which is more perfect? And which is most perfect? which three parts we have in this in the supreme planet of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan? Which three parts? In the Goloka Vrindavan. Which three parts we have? Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. Yes, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. And which of them is perfect? Dwaraka. Dwaraka. Dwaraka is perfect. But Mathura is more perfect. In this material world, perfect is perfect. That's it. But in the spiritual world, Dwaraka is perfect. Mathura is more perfect. But Vrindavan is most perfect. So Vrindavan is 100% sweet. Krishna never puts on a tie and a business suit in Vrindavan. Never. Kokorov Slovenia, samo izleti, gost, hribe, just picnics in the mountains, yeah. Very sweet. And with the cows, and if they have a festival, they throw butter. They have enough butter to throw at each other. Yes. So that's 100% sweetness. But Mathura, okay, so that's most perfect. Mathura is 75% sweet, 25% opulent. 75% sweet and 25% power, Aishwarya, Madhurya and Aishwarya, powerful and opulent. And Dwaraka is already 50-50, 50% sweet and 50% opulent, amazing and opulent. It's all amazing, and it's 50-50. So this is Mathura, Krishna coming to Mathura from Vrindavan, so some more power is shown. He's showing a little more of his godly strength in conquering. And also, at least in this pastime, so he's coming, he's playing the part of a young boy, so he's coming to the city, and he looks at the city, and the city looks back. And the gates look like the smiling mouths. And the windows look like eyes that do not blink. Yeah? So usually eyes blink, but the windows don't blink. Unless you have the blinds, the Venetian blinds, or how you call them. But then also they are not raised and let down so fast. So they are looking unblinkingly. The big domes of different temples look like the top of the head, and there are some door panels which have been crafted by skilled tradesmen, means looks nice. So they and they are effulgent, so they are like shining teeth in the smiling mouths of the city, because so it means the city is really smiling. Not like the, not really, you can see the shining teeth. It's a question: what color are the teeth? Are they? It says golden. It's a little old-fashioned. Then. Yeah, so many things are there. hundreds of hanging decorations. Like, okay, here we have some decorations hanging. They are like the mascara on the eyes of the city. Like cosmetics. Makeup. In the face of the city, who is looking at Krishna. So Krishna is looking at the city, coming to the city, looking at the city, and the city is looking back at Krishna, unblinking. And there are so many interesting points there. There are aviaries. You know what's an aviary?
Where the birds are.
Yes. What's the word for that? You say ptashnik, or holubyatnik. We have one aviary right on a little further down the tracks with the pigeons. It's like a birdhouses. A little, you know, like 100 meters from here, you have a birdhouse. And in the birdhouse, you always hear the birds warbling, especially pigeons. Yeah? So it sounds like a whisper of, like the whispers. The city is looking and whispering, oh, there's Krishna, Krishna is coming. Some warbling. The city is warbling. Anyway, there's more. There is something very esoteric. It says, let me find it. It says that this sapphire decoration, there is jeweled. It's an opulent city, Mathura. Even you go to Delhi to the Red Fort. Who has been to the Red Fort? Anyone? Okay. So they will show you the empty wall and they will say, see these holes? This is where the jewels were before the British came. So the walls were decorated with jewels. And a lot of them were blue, sapphires and gold. Okay. So sapphires and gold was the city's antahkarana or subtle body or mind. It's quite esoteric. The mind of the city were the jewels of the city. They were showing the... So it means that the mind of the city was decorated with happy emotions. Sapphire, gold, and I'm sure there was a few diamonds too and other jewels. So the city was... Krishna is coming. This is just the first touch of looking at the city, and the city is looking back. Then, yeah, and there were trees decorating the city, and it was like the hair standing on end, you know, in ecstasy. The city was in ecstasy with the hair standing on end. And there were prayers chanted. And all the people were running out to greet Krishna. All they were running to see Krishna. There are some amazing descriptions which we will save for some other occasions. And then he saw the famous washerman coming with hundreds of donkeys. A washerman carrying freshly washed and dyed clothes with hundreds of donkeys. And Krishna came to the washerman and he said, can you please, it's very, just as I was reading, I immediately thought about Slovenian, because it says, Abhitsata, Jijivishata, it has the ending of Dvojina, verbal ending of Dvojina, Želita. You too, Krishna and Balaram, Abhitsata, Jijivishata, it's like in Slovenian, exactly, still survived. Even the ending is A in Dvojina, in a dual number. So they said, So Krishna thought, these look like nice clothes, and we are coming to the city, we can as well take these clothes. So he comes to the washerman, and you know that this washerman was performing austerities for hundreds and thousands of years to meet God. And then the God is coming, and he says, oh, dear washerman, you have thousands of donkeys with clothes, can we take some clothes? And what does the washerman say? The washerman says, you two fools, don't you understand that these are king's clothes? And if you take king's clothes, he may punish you. You fools, run away. And so he calls not only Krishna fool, he calls also his brother fool. And all the other devotees, he calls them fools. So if he only called Krishna a fool, that would be bad. But he called his brother a fool also. So then Krishna probably starts practicing a little his martial arts, and he's just doing a karate chop and cuts off the washerman's head with one chop, with the edge of his, he just takes it off. So this was obviously a very foolish washerman, because he didn't notice that the clothes of Krishna and Balaram were already the best clothes coming from the demigods. The demigods were giving these clothes. It says that he couldn't see that these are clothes given by Varuna, by Indra, by Lord Brahma. These are amazing clothes. So he didn't notice. And not only that, he not only insulted Krishna, he insulted also Balaram, and he insulted everybody else. So then Krishna took all the clothes, he gave it to all his friends. He came with all of his cowherd boys, with friends. And then something amazing happened. Then he went to a weaver. You can say a tailor, although there are no tails. In some tails are there, okay. A weaver. He makes ready clothes. He weaves clothes. So he goes to the weaver, and he says, "Can you please arrange for some clothes?" And it says that this weaver heard about Krishna a lot, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he was afraid of Kamsa. He was afraid to go and serve Krishna and do something for Krishna. He was afraid, so he never went. And here Krishna came personally. And the weaver already had been thinking about Krishna a lot and meditating. And now Krishna came and he said, can you please make some clothes ready to wear? And he made different clothes. He arranged all the clothes, turbans and upper chadars, and he made some ornaments made of cloth, which are perfect for fighting. Yes, you may see in boxing, they check the gloves, they check everything, is there something hard. But he made all the soft ornaments, which are perfect they will have, shortly next day, they will have the boxing, not just boxing, it's a UFC, Universal Fighting Championship. Or MMA, mixed martial arts. That's how Kamsa decided to attract Krishna and Balaram, inviting for the, hey, why don't you come for the championship? You're organizing such a nice festival, why you just come? And Krishna said, such a good idea. Yes, indeed, why not? So they got these ornaments made of clothes. And the weaver, as he was preparing all this, something amazing happened. Because he was meditating on Krishna, he was looking at Krishna, all of a sudden, he assumed the form of Krishna also. And everybody was looking, and they thought, wow, this weaver now looks exactly like Krishna. And Jiva Goswami writes here that this is amazing, and we praise this assumption of Krishna's qualities. I offer praise to that weaver, the chief devotee, because he put the most splendid, colorful clothes and ornaments on Krishna and Balaram. So he was not only serving, he's praising him, because not only he served Krishna, but Krishna personally came and asked for service. He asked for service. So God himself is coming and asking, can you please arrange, do this, what you do for me? So this is unique good fortune. And we also have this unique good fortune. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I've taken to gardening. I've taken to gardening. Now I'm a gardener. And I grow thousands of juicy, sweet fruits of love of Krishna. And I have grown so many that it's too hard for me to distribute. I cannot distribute all the fruits. Can you please help me to hand out these fruits? I need help. Can you please, all of you, help me distribute the books? Sorry, the fruit. It's a, you know, it's a steady collocation. It's a steady phrase. The fruits, yes, the fruits. And they can be distributed in many forms, books also. Yeah. And Prabhupada writes there that we are the western branch of that tree. ISKCON, today is the incorporation day of ISKCON. On this day, Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON in New York. Srila Prabhupada also left Vrindavan and went to the archetypal city, New York. It's the archetype of the big city, yeah, New York. And when somebody said, Prabhupada, why did you leave Vrindavan? He said, oh, you think I left Vrindavan? No, I'm in Vrindavan, because I think about Vrindavan. Yeah, so it's very similar. And also we think, how Krishna could have left the... here, the Mathura Brahmanas are saying, the most fortunate are the cowherds of Vrindavan. They are the most amazing and fortunate because they take care of Krishna. But we can't think of the cowherd man as much as we think about the cowherd girls, who are even more fortunate, because they serve Krishna all the time with all their thoughts in the most dedicated way. So they praise in Mathura, but what do the Vrindavan gopis themselves feel? They feel horrible, most horrible, externally. So it looks, why did he? So here is our oh no moment. This is the oh no, you know, how is this? Oh no, Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. Oh no. Why does he leave Vrindavan? Oh, how long will he be away? You know how long? Well, yeah, depends how you, I mean, depends which level of secrecy you are sworn into. Which book do you read? If you read, what is Krishna Sangati, yeah? We have some explanations how often Krishna returns. But externally, he was away for 100 years. Externally, he was away for 100 years. He does return. He does return. He told the gopis that I will come. He didn't say I will come back. He said I am coming back. I'm coming. That's, I heard this is how you say goodbye in Bengal. In Bengal, you don't say I'm going away. You don't say goodbye. You don't say I will come back. You say I am coming back. I'm coming back. I'm just now coming back. How long it will take? That's a separate question. Is it correct? Yes, you have a person who has just come from Bengal, West Bengal. How is it? Ashche?
Ashchi.
Ashchi. Ashchi. Okay. Not Ashbo. I will come, but Ashchi. I am coming back. Yes. So Krishna said, "I am coming back," and then he said, "You know, I'm sorry. I have my to-do list. There are demons I need to kill. So the sooner we start, the sooner we end." So he goes. So on one hand, it's separation. On the other hand, he comes and he immediately kills the washerman on the first evening. One off, one man down, one to do done. Done today. I just realized that in Slovenia is a very effective country. How you greet each other? You say done. The other says done. I just realized if you translated it into English, you know, it says, done, done. You say, dober dan means good day, but day is done, and it sounds like done, you know. It's done. And the answer is, it's done, yes, it's done. Super effective. Done, done. Like even completely complete strangers in the park, because you know somebody was coming you know, on a forest path, you have to say something, you know. So you say, done. He says, done. So done. One demon done. Krishna has a list of all these demons. After all the demons are done, he immediately is back in Vrindavan. Then he goes immediately, there is a big, huge bow of Shiva, which was supposed to be viewed on the next day. It's like we have sometimes a parade for some celebration, and then there is, you know, if the country has some rockets or missiles, they will parade the missiles, so they parade that huge bow, and Krishna just goes, and they try to stop him, and he breaks the bow and kills these people, the guards. And Kamsa, the chief demon who was consolidating the demoniac power, he hears this huge thunder, and he says, "What happened? Is this our bow? Something happened to our bow? He feels something is bad." And they say, "Yeah, Krishna went and he killed all the guards and he broke the bow." "But don't worry. Tomorrow, we will have the boxing, this UFC match, and we will destroy him. We have really good fighters. The names are Mushtika means big fist, Chanura means injurer or hurtful pain. Shala and Toshala, it was also something. Hitter and a big hitter. Anyway, so they are ready. They are prepared. They are ready to kill Krishna. Anyway, there is so many things to say. Funny thing is that Krishna slept very well this night. Krishna slept perfectly peacefully. Kamsa couldn't sleep. First of all, he saw himself riding naked on a donkey, backwards, and wearing hibiscus garlands, which is a bad sign, apparently. Maybe in a tea is okay, but not a garland. And then he saw some golden fog in the air when we went to Bled for the Harinam during Padayatra. I saw this golden shimmer in the air. I asked Maharaj, I said, "Maharaj, do you see this golden shimmer?" He said, "Maybe you're dying." Like Kamsa. Look in the mirror, because Kamsa looked in the mirror and he didn't see himself in the mirror. And he was walking, there was no footprints in the sand. There were footprints, I checked. I checked several. Not everything worked. Not all the symptoms were there. I survived so far. Anyway, he couldn't sleep. The whole night he couldn't sleep. He was very tortured. Krishna slept very nicely. He swam in the Yamuna. And the next day he came late. So everybody was in the arena waiting for the match. And Krishna just sauntered in, you know, just like... Of course, he killed the elephant before that. And he came in, and Kamsa peacefully was waiting for Krishna. And yeah, there were so many nice points there. And then all the spectators, so this is a famous verse from the Bhagavatam, everybody saw Krishna differently. Somebody saw Krishna as the thunderbolt. Somebody saw Krishna as the most amazing person. Somebody saw him as the most beautiful man. Somebody saw him as death personified. So everybody saw him in a different way. All the 12 rasas are there. Somebody saw him with smiles. His friends, they were laughing with him and joking with Krishna. So they they entered the arena, and the ladies in the audience, they were cursing Mathura, saying that this Mathura is cursed. Look, in Vrindavan they greet Krishna with garlands, and we greet Krishna with these killer guys. And we are just about to watch how he is fighting with them. So then Krishna approached Chanura and Mushtika. You know, they came closer, and he said, "Look, people are complaining. They say that the weight category is mismatched. You are super heavyweight. We are featherweight. It's not fair. And plus, you have been training for the last 40 years." And we are young, we are just about, you know, we are just teenagers, 15 or so. So then Chanura said, "You are joking with me. Look, we know that you were not young when you killed this demoness Putana. You were not young when you killed the donkey Dhenuka. You were not young, too young to kill another demon, Arishtasura. And we heard you just killed that elephant." So Krishna says, "Look, this demoness apparently was sick because she probably poisoned herself." we just tried to drink milk and she died. What we can do? It's and. Then the Govardhan, it's not that I lifted, that just Govardhan was worshipped by all the people, and it just like almost floated in the air. I didn't have to do anything. And then this Arishta was an old bull infested with bugs. he crumbled when we just touched him. And this horse, Kashi, accidentally, you know, my fist went into his mouth and he choked, you know. What can I do? It's not, I didn't do anything special. And I couldn't remove the elephant, he was attacking me and his tusk got stuck in the earth and he couldn't move. And then he tried to free the tusk and it broke, and he started bleeding and he died. And people just looking saw that I was the cause of his death, and the mahouts, the elephant drivers, he just got crushed under the under the elephant. It was, you know, I didn't do anything, it just so happened. Chanura said, "You are hiding your sinful acts by trying to show humility." The king is not unhappy with these events. He sent to you persons having long-lasting pride in order to curb their arrogance, since they were useless for protecting him. He wants to exchange them, all these demons, for you too, only for increasing his own strength. Anyway, so like Bhagavatam says that Kamsa was uncle, the uncle. So uncles, in your childhood, who got some presents from uncles and aunties? Yeah? So uncles send you toys, right? So he sends toys to Krishna. He sends Trinavarta, whew, and he lifts him in the air like an air balloon. But then, you know, a child, you know, you play with a toy, then he breaks. So this demon, he played with these demons, the bull, the horse. He played with Aghasura, he played with them, Baka, Big Bird, and then he breaks them. You know, it's like uncle and nephew play. So Krishna said, "Well, you are embarrassing us with praise. Still, we will serve the king. He's the king, we will serve." In another commentary it says that Chanura said, "Yes, we are mismatched. Our weight category is mismatched because we are just humans and you are absolute. So Krishna, oh, okay, oh, all right, then, okay, if you insist, okay, let's fight. So, yes. Yeah, then they were fighting Chanura with Krishna, Mushtika with Balaram, and it took, the first two went a little longer. So there are different descriptions how they were fighting, blow by blow, describing, you know, how he punched him in the solar plexus, and then he grabbed him by the hand and did the rotating wheel and smacked him on the ground, and he died. And every time Krishna choked Chanura, Kamsa felt as if he's choking. And he was looking, Chanura and Mushtika killed! And Kamsa felt horrible. But then he thought, well, what about Shala Toshala? And then Shala Toshala, that was even faster. And, you know, they played a little bit with the first two and then kicked Shala in, with the left foot to his head, Krishna, and Balaram punched Toshala. So that went quicker. So very quickly all these big fighters were killed. And though they were supposed to kill Krishna. So then Kamsa was dismayed. Kamsa grabbed his sword and then he said, okay, then let the parents of Krishna be killed now. Devaki and Vasudeva, let them die now. And then Krishna decided, this is the end of Kamsa. Now it's the end. Not when Kamsa tried to kill Krishna, but when Kamsa wanted to attack his parents. So then Krishna jumped onto the dais, onto, how you call it, the podium, where the throne was standing. And then he grabbed Kamsa by the hair, and just by Krishna touching Kamsa's hair, half of Kamsa's life was gone. Then he grabbed him by the hair, he threw him down, then he sat on him and gave just one little punch, and that was it. It was actually an anticlimax. You know, it's like half a book you're waiting. How he will kill Kamsa? Right? Krishna himself was disappointed. Later he had to, he even on purpose, he went to fight with Jambavan, because these demons are useless, you know. I just touch him with my hand and he's half dead. No fun. So he had a big 27-day fight with Jambavan. But everybody was worried. They thought, it's not possible, you know, for he was the most powerful demon. He was torturing the whole land. He was torturing the whole earth for such a long time. It's not possible he's dead. So then Krishna took him by the foot and dragged him on the arena. So everybody said, no, looks like he's really dead. And then eight brothers of Kamsa rushed to attack Krishna. And Krishna just stood waiting without trying to protect himself. Because they did not attack his devotees, they attacked him. So he decided, let me take it. But Balaram was there. And Balaram took the tusks which he carried, brought from that elephant, and he made a short job of those eight uncles, and that was it for that day. Hare Krishna. So, Krishna's plan is perfect, and even if something looks temporarily imperfect, just wait. Like today, you see the weather, yeah? You don't like the weather? Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Yeah, so if you don't like the events, just wait. And rest assured that my plan may be imperfect, but Krishna's plan is perfect. And our task is to somehow connect ourselves with Krishna's plan. And then it's going to be, everything is going to be perfect also in our life. I may be imperfect. This world may look imperfect if it is disconnected from Krishna. But if we connect it to Krishna, everything becomes perfect. The imperfect looks, the imperfect becomes perfect. Om purnamada purnamidam purnat purna udachate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishate. So Krishna, you can see very quickly, in just 2 days he finished big part of that list, and then he finished the rest of the list, and then he returned to Vrindavan, and here we have some esoteric descriptions. Yes, by the way, it's the last book from the shop which I borrowed for the Sunday feast program. So Krishna is wonderful and amazing, and everything is still exciting, even if you know that the demons will die. Because something is always there to learn more about Krishna's dealings with his devotees and with also non-devotees, those who are not yet devotees. Krishna's dealings are perfect, or more perfect, or most perfect. Or they are sweet, sweeter, or sweetest, depending on your rasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Universe champion Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Questions, comments, points, something? Yes, Tirtha Karavaram. Let's check it. Yes, speak.
I was wondering, Kamsa is actually not the real son of...
Not the real son of Ugrasena.
Yeah, he's not the real son, but then you mentioned that other brothers of Kamsa, they attacked Krishna also, they were real sons of Ugrasena or also not?
That remains to be studied more. I don't know. Only Kamsa was explained how from such a good father, such a bad son came as Kamsa. But often also we see that sometimes there are very good people. In the 10th canto we have Dvivida, we have son of Krishna Bhaumasura, who by bad association, Dvivida, by bad association they turned bad also. So sometimes by bad association. Even the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, it says that the other sons were willing somehow to be kinder to the Pandavas, but by the bad association of Duryodhana, they also acted badly. So they might have been not so bad, not as bad as Kamsa, but bad association sometimes creates bad effects.
A difficult moment, right? The brother dies, so it's maybe emotions and all these things. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shikamala, you have some?
I have 2 questions. Should ask them both together?
No, first number 2, then number 1.
Okay, I'll start with number 2. It was in a Christian post.
Christian?
Post on the internet. I read that there's a statement that the most horrible things happen when we... The heaviest cross to carry is the one that you prayed for. So, for example, somebody thinks, I don't want to do things, and then they get paralyzed, for example. So it's like they...
Yeah, it's like that joke that there are 2 miseries in life. To want something and not get it. But worse is to want it and you get it.
Yeah, exactly. So even though that source is Christian, I also notice the same philosophy sometimes in devotional circles and circles of devotees. So I was wondering how to... how to know that everything is Krishna's plan? You said that Krishna's plan is perfect. My plan might not be perfect, but Krishna's plan is perfect. So how to know that Krishna's plan is perfect and at the same time have the courage to plan things? To, like also Maharajas say that, you know, we have to have an agenda for the year, 5 years, the whole life. How to connect the two? To plan and at the same time not to be attached?
I heard a statement that you have goals of stone and plans of sand. Goals of stone and plans of sand. So you have to have some landmarks where you are going, where you are, what you want to achieve, like Srila Prabhupada. He was very clear what he wanted, ultimately. But how he would go about it, you can see he went through 7 different plans. First he wanted to start the league, International League of Devotees in Jhansi, then Brahman sons in India, Brahmins in India, then students in the USA, and he went through like 7 plans. So the goal was very clear, but how to go about it, he was very flexible. And in a practical way, that we know what is the, what is it called, KPI, Key Productivity Indicators? Key Performance Indicators, thank you. Key Performance Indicators, KPI. So to, you judge whether you are moving and what do you want. But how about how to go about it, then you may have to be flexible. Plus, we always include some indemnity clause in our prayers that that Krishna, if you so desire, or if it is, if you think it's a good idea, because sometimes we insist, sometimes we have such crazy ideas about what we want, and basically it's almost like a self-sabotage. So we can include, you know, Krishna, if you so desire, or if you think, if you agree, if that's your will. Yeah. And number one?
Yeah, number one was you mentioned that Lord Chaitanya is growing so many sweetest fruits of bhakti. At the same time, it's stated in Bhagavad Gita that bhakti is extremely rare. And then with experience, we see that amongst devotees, there are some devotees who obviously have more taste, etc. So is it that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, how do we understand that statement? Is it everybody can get it, or that in the age of Lord Chaitanya, everybody actually gets it ultimately in some visible future, not like in trillions of lives, but does it go faster by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? How should we understand it? That it's just accessible, or that you actually get it?
Both. So, when it says it's rare, bhakti is understood in 3 categories. One category is practice, the other category is ecstasy, third category is complete love. So sadhana, bhava and prema. So rare refers to ecstasy, bhava. Of course, you know, as soon as you come to the Hare Krishna practice, you will feel some ecstasy. Or some shadow or some ecstasy will usually come from the very beginning. But to have ecstasy as bhava bhakti, mature devotional service which always brings you ecstasy, that's very rare. This is actually very rare, very rare. So it is always rare, even on the higher planets, even on the other planets it's rare. So here it will also be rare. Plus it needs to be hidden a little bit. Yes, it has to be a little hidden. It has to be some external suffering, otherwise we will not be able to host all the people. It will be not enough space for all the people. According to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to Bhagavatam 2.3.17. So therefore, some devotees do get ecstatic love, and even though it is rare, but it may not be so obviously visible to so evident to everybody, but everybody gets a chance. So everybody gets a chance all around the world, and I know that some devotees devotees started practicing just now during the pandemic times because of more higher usage of YouTube and whatever else, what was that? Yeah, because they found some lectures, and they found some explanations, and they got interested. So, through one way or another, opportunity is offered practically everywhere, and the smallest interest is amply rewarded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you can advance as quickly or as slow as you want. It's all available by His grace. Okay, so thank you very much. It's already 5:10. So, Krishna's plan is perfect. Even when He goes from Vrindavan to Mathura, that makes his tasks in this world complete sooner, and he can return back to Vrindavan sooner, so everything will be as this saying goes, that there is going to be the happy end. If it's not happy yet, it's not the end yet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the end.